Amen. Thank you. You want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians.
The book of Ephesians. We'll pick back up in our study on spiritual warfare. Good to see you folks tonight. Good crowd here, and appreciate you filling up more towards the front. That's a blessing to me, encouragement to me, and thankful for the good songs this morning. I have to admit, though, when Brother Mike started off, we're bound for the promised land. I felt like when I came in here, I was bound for the Arctic land. Anybody? Usually the coldness is nothing to the preacher. It doesn't affect me at all. But boy, it was. Old Jake had it like a meat locker in here tonight. But that's good. It'll keep us nice and awake. And praise the Lord for that. Thankful for the AC. Hope everybody's had a good week. Hope everybody's just been trusting the Lord and letting Him use you. I've heard from several of you throughout the week, whether it be a prayer request or just chatting with you. And just sounds like the Lord is continuing to work. But if you want to go to Ephesians chapter 6, that's where we'll be. We'll be... know how that is. That sounds just like my little Thomas. That boy hits his head at least a dozen times a day. I know that's what's wrong with him, but he's all over the place, and I guess that's he's just hard-headed like his daddy. That's a good thing, but we just like I said, just been hearing from a couple of you. It's good to see Miss Geneva back here today. Where is she at? There you go. It's good to see you back, sister. She's just been struggling with a cold and different things, and been missing out, but she's back. And thankful for that, and praise the Lord for His goodness and giving healing, and got some good announcements. Got a special night prepared tonight. We're going to do something a little different. The Lord impressed upon my heart after the Bible study. We're going to hear from one of our missionaries through a video presentation. It's going to be a DVD presentation that was done by Brother Eric Johnson, and he's going to be giving us an update. Something that we need to be praying about, a project that they've just started recently, and what the Lord's doing. So I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I look forward to updating you on that and just some neat things the Lord is doing. Well, if you want to find your place there, Ephesians chapter 6, what we'll do is just pick back up and I'll begin reading. I'm not going to re-preach all the messages, but just for context, we'll just start reading in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." In verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, that's where we stopped last week. We did preach through verse 13, and we basically, up to this point, we've talked about our position. Our position is a position of what, church? We fight from a position of what? Victory. Amen. That is vital, that is key to understand in spiritual warfare, that you are understand as a born-again believer, as a child of God, we fight from a position of victory because Jesus won that victory. And it's for us to take that victory by faith. When we get away from that victory, it's basically we're not reckoning ourselves, as the Word of God says. We're not reckoning ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto Christ. But I'm not going to go into that. But it's a position of victory. And so then we went on to talk about the protection that God gives us. Even when we're fighting from a position of victory, God has given us protection, the armor of God. And we talked about how vitally important that is. And before we talked about the armor, I skipped a point. We talked about the power of the enemy. I left that point out, but we talked about how powerful the enemy truly is and why we must be ready. And that's why he said in verse 13, because of the enemy is powerful, he says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. So there's a good reason. And then tonight, with the Lord's help, we want to get into the specifics of God's armor, of this protective gear, this protective equipment, if you will. And that's there found in verse number 14, where it says, "Stand therefore." There's that word "stand" again. That's our key word throughout this passage. It says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." And I'll read verse 15. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Let's pray together. Father, I do want to thank you so much for this opportunity to be together on a Wednesday night. Lord, if I can use this analogy, Lord, it's like coming here and having our spiritual batteries somewhat recharged, Lord, through the battles throughout the week, the temptations, Lord, the failures, things that we've all experienced at one point or another, I know, even today. And so, Lord, we come to you humbly and boldly and asking that you just meet with us, encourage us, strengthen us, and make us fit for the Master's use. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to understand the importance of the whole armor of God and how we must don the armor. We must put it on and leave it on. Oh God, please help us to understand this great importance. And we commit this service to you and everything about it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we see here, we start off with this armor that he's going to go into. We talked about last week the whole armor of God. And not just part of it. We can't just choose and pick when we're in this battle against the enemy. We can't just choose and pick which ones we want. It all goes together. It's all or none, according to the Word of God, according to God. And we'll see how that ties in together with tonight's message, the proof of that. But the Roman soldier, Paul will go into an analogy of the Roman soldier with the believers here in Ephesus. He's gonna liken the spiritual battle and the spiritual armor, if you will, with what the Roman soldier wears for battle. And what a perfect illustration. Now, one thing that we will see, we'll talk more about it, not necessarily tonight, but a common theme of each piece of the equipment, of the armor, is also a picture of who we are with Christ. What Christ is in us. He is our He is truth. He is our righteousness. He is our faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And He is the Word of God. And so we'll see that as we go down looking at that. But that is a common thread that we see that, of course, we put on Christ. But we see specifically here our responsibility as God's children. And then we're going to talk about the whole armor of God. And we're going to see the very first thing that Paul talks about when he's talking about putting on the whole armor of God. What does he say first thing? He says, verse 14, "Stand." Now again, what does that word signify? I want to tell you what it signifies. It signifies urgency. Urgency. Stand. Stand. Stand quick. Stand fast. As I said, we used to in military, you hear "stand at attention." It's quick. It's ready and you're ready for battle. And, you know, we see it in football. It kind of carries the idea of down, set. Man, when you're set, man, you're waiting for that ball to move. You're offensive lineman, man. You got your eye on the ball. And if not, you're going to get offside. You just know it because they go on the counts and the defensive lineman too. But that's the idea right here. You are set and you are ready to face the enemy with the whole armor of God. And that's something very serious that we have to be ready. We got to be set. And we got to be standing. It's a type of urgency that he repeats again. Because I think the reason there's a reason we got to take note. When God's Word, when you see it repeating things like that, there's a reason. Because He knows we are like sheep. We so quickly forget the basics of the truth of spiritual warfare. We get lax. You know, how do guys get knocked on their backside on the football line, offense, decent line? Because they're not paying attention. They're not ready. And it happens all through, and you can apply anything. People get caught off guard. Why? Because they're not set. And there's one thing that we need to encourage each other tonight. We just remind ourselves, let's be set. Let's be ready. Let's stand. And then what does he say? All right, you're standing. What is the first piece of the armor that is so vitally important? Look what he says. Having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins girt about with truth. What is he talking about there? He's talking about the armor of the Roman soldier. This part, he's talking about the belt. That which would go around the waistline. And that, well, I'll explain here more in just a minute how that vitally important that piece of armor was. We're going to see. But it's interesting, isn't it? Why a belt? I mean, of all things, you know, if I would have started off about the whole armor of God, I think I probably maybe would have, if I was explaining it anyway, I'd probably have been like, the shield of faith. You know, the giant, giant shield made of steel and is the shield of faith to quench all the darts. It is impossible to penetrate the shield. Maybe I would have talked about the helmet. The helmet of salvation to protect the head in battle from whatever may fly my way. Maybe I would have talked about the sword. Man, the double-edged sword, the sword of the Spirit. That's the things that come to mind first of all when I think of armor. But hey, you know what God's Word starts off with? The belt. Just the old belt. But you know, it is the most integral part of the armor. The most integral part, the most important part of this armor because, listen church, it helps hold all the other pieces of armor together. It helps connect that armor around the body and it keeps that soldier in place. And we'll talk more about that. But it is simply the belt that we talk about and that we see here. It is this truth. And what does this belt represent? It represents, as we see there in our context, what does it say, church? It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about, wrapped around, about with truth. Hey, listen. Everything we believe hinges on the truth of God's Word. The truth of God's Word. That is what everything hinges on, is truth. And that's why it's the most important. In fact, that's why we see the belt gone and listed first, is because in essence, the armor, the breastplate of righteousness, and even the sword of the Spirit would be connected with the belt, would be girt about. It's all connected. And we're going to see how important that is. The Roman soldier, that would be the first thing that he would put on. He would put on the belt around his waist. It signified of great importance. And the rest of the armor would be fastened by the other garments. And we see the importance of that. You know, truth. We've heard even through the Word of God in the Gospels. Where and we see in times of the book of Acts, what is truth? What is truth? And that's the question through the ages. In fact, was it not the great deceiver who first questioned truth? Remember when he got Eve in the garden? Eve, hath God said, thou shalt surely die? What is he doing? He's questioning truth. And it's still going on thousands of years later. September 14th, 2016, it's still happening. Is today the 14th? Yes, it is. I lose track. But he's still doing it. He's still trying to question the truth of God's Word. And that's something we stand on. It's so important that we don't base our lives, brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't base our lives on man's opinions. We don't base our lives on man's traditions. We base our lives and what we do and how we function and everything about us upon the precious Word of God. The truth. That's what Paul mentions this first part of the armor. Truth. And I want us to say, if I wanted to give tonight's study a title, it'd be this: a testimony of truth. a testimony of truth. That word truth here also carries the idea, we'll see it here more in a second, carries the idea of this, integrity. Integrity. You know, maybe you've heard that bridge, or if there's a bridge in question, it's often said that the integrity of that bridge needs to be tested. Perhaps the integrity of a building, because of its old, because of its foundation, because of its weakness. Why is that, this integrity? Why is that? It's simply this. Because that is what holds everything together. That is what holds everything together. It's the integrity of something. And I want to tell you, that is what the girdle will do. That's what the belt will do. It will hold all things together that we'll see this armor. It's so important. Can I give you some aspects of this truth or this integrity? I want us to see, number one, one thing about this girdle, this belt of truth. We need to see, first of all, it needs to be sincere. It speaks of sincerity. An aspect of this girdle, this truth, speaks of sincerity. Hold your places there and go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Corinthians, hold your place in Ephesians. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It says here, I'll begin reading in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It says what? But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Do you see what Paul is speaking here? He's testifying to these believers in Corinth. He's like, listen, my life is a life of truth. That's what gives it the validity. That's what gives it the significance. That's what gives it the integrity. That's what holds me together. That's how I can battle for the Lord. That's why you can battle for the Lord, because there is an element of truth about your life. You speak of truth through your life. It holds it. Hey, listen. It simply validates that which comes out of your mouth. That's when you say, I'm a Christian. Well, does truth come from that? Does your life show that? It's truth. How it affects me. That's why Paul said, look, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We're not walking in craftiness or trickiness. We're not handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, we commend ourselves to men's conscience and the sight of God. There is a true sincerity that comes from this, the importance of being sincere. You know, I'm afraid in our churches that we have people that claim to be Christians. They claim to be Christ. But there is no truth in their life. The belt does not seem to be fastened. It's not holding the other parts of the armor, the breastplate of righteousness, and the sword of the Spirit, and the other parts of the armor. It doesn't seem to be all coming together. You know what? When we talk about truth, we talk about the life of a trustworthy believer. We're talking about somebody that's open. Somebody that's transparent. Not that we're perfect, but we live an honest life. I'm seeking to grow in Christ. What you see is what you get. I'm not perfect, but I'm growing. I want to know the Savior. I want to know Him better. And there is an open, honest sincerity about that person. Listen, this is a quote right here. Not only are they confident, the people that are girt about with truth, okay? A person that's truly dons the armor, they don that first piece. Not only are they confident that God's Word is truth, It doesn't stop there. Please get this, young people. This is so important because when people growing up in church, they hear the truth, they hear the truth, they hear the truth from the time they were born until this present day. They hear the truth, they hear the truth, but here's the key. They are confident that God's Word is truth, but that truth has to and be effectively changing me. You see the difference? Knowing about truth and that truth affecting me and changing me is a big difference. And that's the question we all have to ask ourselves tonight. We believe truth, okay? I believe God's Word. But is it changing me? Is it affecting my life? Is it working in my life? Is it purifying me? Is it purging me? Is it protecting me? That is part of the belt. And if that element of truth is not in your life, the rest of the armor, my friend, will be in vain. We must have this element of truth. We must have this integrity about ourselves. Sincerity. But also, not only do we see sincerity a part of this truth, but we see the security about this truth. Again, we said as it holds things together, like the sword, but without the belt, we are essentially without the armor. I remember when I was in law enforcement, it's a little bit different than of course, the whole armor here that the Roman soldiers would wear so long ago and centuries ago. But when I was in law enforcement, that was also our most important part was the belt because that's where my gun was attached to. That's where I had my Glock. That's where I had my pepper spray. That's where I had my handcuffs. That's where I had several other things. My flashlight, different things that were attached. And it was secure. And it was the most important part. Man, if that was one thing that we always made sure we did, and you'll see officers many times standing at like this. Why? Because they have their hands protecting their belt, their girdle. Because if something happens to that belt, ladies and gentlemen, there is going to be a catastrophe. There's going to be a great emergency on hand because a lot of times if you can get that belt off, they get the weapons. And can I tell you, that is the same way with God's children. We must be girt about with truth. We must be guided by truth. That's what holds everything else together. That's what will help you keep your sword. Listen, and you know, the truth is, if my belt was on feelings, we would never have any armor. It's not based upon feelings. It's based upon truth. How I live each day is not going to be based upon... Listen, there are times, like I said before, church, there are going to be times when you don't feel like donning the armor. You don't want to submit yourself to that truth and allow that truth to come in and change you. But you got to don it anyway. Because we are at a battle. We are in a battle. We are fighting. And there gives security. So not only does it give show forth sincerity and security, but I want to tell you another thing that it speaks of. It speaks of mobility. Maneuverability. This belt was designed very strategically. The way the Roman soldier's belt was created, it was made again fastened to other parts of the armor, and it was just the right where he could move specifically to defend himself when he's carrying his shield, whether he had to do a quick turnaround, or whether he had to move quickly, or whether he had to run, or whether he had to jump down on the ground. Whatever the case may be, that armor was designed for him to have some mobility. For him to be able to, can I say it this way, have some freedom. And can I say it this way? To have some liberty. And can I say it like this? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is peace. There is strength. Even when Satan's darts are flying, even when we're perhaps down on the ground, we've been knocked down. Listen, we can maneuver. We can get back up. That armor is not created where you look like the Tin Man from Wizard of Oz. You know how he looks walking around? All awkward and everything. His maneuverability was not there, but I want to tell you something. The belt of truth gives some maneuverability. It gives us that freedom. In fact, that's what Jesus said, isn't it? Look over there with me in John chapter 8. Hold your place in Corinthians. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 32. Hold your place there in Ephesians. And John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 says this. John 8, 31 says this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed. And get verse 32. And ye shall know the what, church? And the what, church? Shall make you free. There's freedom in following Jesus. The world teaches that there's bondage. The world teaches there's bondage. But I want to tell you something. There is no better freedom than in Jesus Christ. The truth. That is the most vital part of the armor of God. And that is what we stand upon. Truthfulness. There's integrity about that. There's no disguises in our relationship. I was telling our young men the other morning in Sunday school class, I said, we're talking about fighting Goliath. And we're talking about the call of David and different things. And the fact of the matter is, listen, this thing of truth is speaking the truth through my life. The truth is seen in my life because of what I show forth in Christ. It's God working through me, in and through me. It's me not only believing that this is a truth, but I'm allowing this truth to affect me. Not only did David believe that God could deliver him, I believe he believed it, but man, he acted on it. He ran toward the giant. Why? Because he stood upon the truth. It had affected him. And you know, a lot of times we're disguising ourselves, and let me tell you something, the world sees right through that. The world sees right through the disguises that believers will put on and that they have a relationship with God. And I talk about David. I was talking about a good aspect of him, but I'll say something bad about him too, because that is the aspect of the human life, even the Christian life. There's failure. But can I tell you this? David, after he committed his sin and lived a lie for a year, after he committed his sin with Bathsheba, he committed a lie for over a year. He was not living truth. Truth was not living through him. And man, he was miserable. If you don't believe me, go to Psalm 32. Go to Psalm 51. If you don't believe somebody was miserable, I want to tell you right now, that is a picture of somebody that has lost their belt. They have lost their belt of truth, that which holds everything else together, the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. That is somebody that has lost their security. That is somebody that has lost their sincerity, their mobility. They open themselves up for the fiery darts of Satan. That is what we see here, this belt. Can I ask you something tonight, church? Is the belt fastened that we see here? Girt about with truth. Everything else will hinge on that. Is it sincere? Is it secure? Is it mobile? Are you ready to go? Is it changing you? How important truth is. Listen, Satan is the father of lies. And when we're battling against him, you got to understand, deception is his business. Deception is his business. He knows how to deceive. And we got to be ready, don't we, church? We got to be ready to just stand on truth. Again, we're not standing on man's traditions. We're not standing on men's opinions. No, we're in a world of trouble when we get over into that realm. We are standing upon this book. Truth. The truth has set me free. The truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word, Jesus said, is truth. And has the truth affected your life? Has it changed you? Is it changing you? Perhaps I'm speaking to someone here tonight and you have known about the truth, but the truth has never changed you. It never has done any eternal spiritual work in your life. I just want to encourage you tonight, friend. Don't leave this church tonight without talking to somebody about finding out how the truth can change you. Not that you can just know about it, but that it can change you. And then for us as believers, as we don the whole armor, may we not ever be guilty of simply going upon feelings or emotions or man's opinions or man's traditions, but the blessed book. That's where we'll stand strong. That's where we'll be ready for the fiery darts. That's where we'll be ready to stand with all that we have. It's going to be upon this precious, holy book. Let's pray.